Welcome to We Are The Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are The Watchers.
Tom, welcome to We Are The Watchers, episode 74.
Hello.
This is going to be slightly different to others.
Yeah.
You're going to get everything you usually get, some news, some like trailer stuff, a little bit of what we've watched, but there won't be a spoiler section.
Why not?
Because there's too much to talk about in Game of Thrones, so we're doing individual Game of Thrones episodes for each episode that comes out.
Da-na-na-na-na-na. There we go.
Yeah, that's right. So, look, you'll find it in your subscription.
Mm-hmm. It'll be in the feed.
Yeah, exactly. You'll have it there and you'll go, what's that? And now you'll know.
It might even be there by the time you hear this.
It definitely will be. It should already be there.
Wow.
I know. We're going ahead of time, but not at the same time. I've watched it once, read a lot about it. What about you for Game of Thrones?
I read it once after much difficulty. Sorry, I watched it once after much difficulty last night.
Yeah, you had a bit of a saga, but we'll talk about that more in the Game of Thrones special. Mm. Get into the news first. I saw that Jake Gyllenhaal's coming to television.
Oh,
he'll
what's
be doing
he up to?
An HBO limited series called Lake Success. He's doing this with, so he's executive producing it as well. Mm-hmm. He's got a company called Nine Stories and Endeavor Content.
It's a mouthful.
I know. That's why I kind of pause then. I need a little break.
But his last name's Gyllenhaal. He likes a mouthful.
It doesn't stop him at all. This one, I'm going to read the synopsis. It centers on a narcissistic, self-deluded and hilariously divorced from the real world hedge fund manager called Barry Cohen. Guess who plays Barry? And he flees from his family, his past, and it does a cross-country bus ride to redemption to find his college girlfriend. It sounds, I'm interested to see more. I don't know very much. Except for that.
Have fun with that, Jake.
Yeah, exactly. What about you? What have you found news-wise?
So one that's potentially got a big bit of news is it looks like Netflix might be buying the Egyptian Theatre in Hollywood, which is the first theatre that was in Hollywood, cinema theatre.
Ah, is that anywhere near the Man's Chinese Theatre?
I believe it's near there.
Okay.
Yes. I can't quite remember off the
all
top of my head.
All in that sort of part of the world.
Now, some people have come out and said, you know, isn't this a bit cheeky of Netflix and this sort of stuff? It looks like it's going to be more like a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And so it means that when Netflix has a big release that they want some cinema time for so they can qualify for awards, they can use that screen.
Mm.
But it means that during the week, the cinema is free to program as it wants. So it's kind of a win-win for both. They're supporting the arts.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll go for, if it'll be one of those theatres, because I don't know what it does now at the moment, but I wonder if it's going to be one of those theatres that perhaps plays not your big, huge blockbusters, but maybe your more art sort of films.
They do a bit of that, but it's more about programming from directors who will come and program a month's worth of content from the last 6 decades. Yeah.
So you get your old school stuff in there.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think Edgar Wright had a residency there for a while.
Oh, okay.
Should have been pretty cool.
That would have been awesome.
Picked some really out there stuff.
He would have known his stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to file this under the should perhaps we have talked about this and done this 2 years ago file. Mm-hmm. India has banned kids from playing PUBG and now Nepal has outlawed everybody from playing PUBG. Now, PUBG is Players Unknown Battleground, I think is what it's called. It was definitely not the first Battle Royale, but it was the first super successful Battle Royale before you got Fortnite, before you got everybody else that's doing them now.
Yep.
And that kind of came out, I'd say, a couple of years ago now.
Yeah, it's been around a little while.
Because nobody is really talking about it anymore. Because Fortnite came along and then things move quickly in that sort of world. But the senior superintendent of police said that the ban comes after they received a number of complaints from parents, schools and school associations regarding the effect of the game on children. He said, we held discussions with psychiatrists before requesting the Kathmandu District Court for permission to ban the game. He says that anybody caught playing the game will be arrested. And any internet service provider or mobile phone networks failing to implement the ban will also face action.
Wow.
It's pretty full on.
You know what happens if you get caught?
What?
You spawn really close to the blue wall.
But what about Fortnite? Like, what about any other Battle Royale game? It's bizarre.
It's very picky.
It's so specific, isn't it? I mean, maybe Fortnite is not big there. Maybe in Nepal it was player unknown and they never sort of latched onto Fortnite.
Sure. Maybe as well there's something around cartoony depiction of violence.
Yeah,
Fortnite
potentially.
Fortnite doesn't look nearly as realistic.
That's a good point.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Very specific.
I feel
like
they would have been cranky about Far Cry 4 as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That wasn't too favourable towards Nepal.
No, but, you know, the environments looked beautiful.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
So gorgeous. Oh.
That's not a watch. This is a watch. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So we've talked a few times now about the Child's Play remake, how Mark Hamill's coming in.
Mark Hamill and Aubrey
Plaza.
Yeah.
Well, they've announced...
I don't think there was any other names announced.
I don't think so.
No.
That's enough.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't get greedy. they've announced that Bear McCreadie is going to be doing the soundtrack.
Who's Bear McCreadie?
So he's done a lot of television work, a couple of film stuff. His Battlestar Galactica stuff is very well known. I'm pretty sure he also did Walking Dead.
Walking Dead is it's one of my favorite themes. It gives you the feeling that you should get going into a zombie show.
Well, this dude's pretty good at doing epic, angular, weird sounding stuff, and so he's going to do the soundtrack for Child's Play, and the score is going to be recorded by an orchestra made up of toys.
Okay.
So not toys playing instruments, but like toy
instruments. Yeah, toy instruments. That's a really cool idea.
Yeah, that could make some very, very haunting, weird. Yuck.
I am sure that there's going to be a whole heap of people getting very stressed out. You know how you curl up, your shoulders go up to your ears sitting in a cinema, and it would be mainly because of that music, that soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds very... Oh.
It's a dark, evil, twisted version of what that... Stuff Jimmy Fallon does.
Yeah, that. Yeah,
the toy band.
That toy band is fun because they're all smiling and happy. But this one potentially not as much.
Yeah, I don't think so.
This new Child's Play is gearing up. Just judging by the names and what I've heard so far, it looks like it's got some legs on it.
They're
going to
have a
successful,
a red hot go.
Yeah,
they're not phoning it in. What we've seen so far,
I'm feeling quite confident about it, having no part in it, but.
Mm. Oh, they've consulted us a few times.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I was pretty interested to see, and I mean, there's no surprise why they would throw this out there, but HBO have released the Big Little Lies trailer. So that's the Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman show, and a whole heap of other people. But this season has got Meryl Streep in it. Now, we knew that, and I saw a couple of photographs that maybe they were paparazzi sort of photographs from the set, and it made it look like Meryl was Reese's mother, or at least in my head that was the thing that I glanced from.
Sure.
It. She is not her mother at all. In fact, she's Perry Wright's mother, and that makes it very different, and that makes her very, very dangerous.
You have
in
a concerned
show.
Look.
I'm very concerned. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned about things falling apart for what these ladies have now been labelled within the show, the Monterey Five. Mm. That's the name they've got around town, and people are still asking questions about what happened. I don't want to go into too much detail, obviously, because if you haven't seen Big Little Lies first season, then I don't want to throw too many spoilers in your direction. But David E. Kelly said that season two will drill down on the women and the story that surrounds them, and will explore how things will permeate the community of Monterey.
Okay.
Because it's all sort of set around a school, and they're the parents of kids, and there are rumours going on, and there's also a big thing that happens as well. But there are rumours that are going on, so it's real sort of he said, she said environment. And I think with the name Monterey Five going around, in fact, one of them said, Jane, one of the characters said in the trailer, it's like we all have scarlet letters on our backs now.
Ooh.
Will it break them apart?
Sidebar question.
Yes.
Monterey Five. What's a nickname for yourself that you've tried to get going? Because everyone's tried it. When they, you know, they've
come
back
like
from a holiday.
Do you mean like in a group? Or?
Yeah, in a group. I tried to get everyone to call me Chief once. Didn't happen. Tried.
I like to get everybody to call me Champ.
Sure. Fair.
Because I think that's good.
It's an apt description of your personality.
I like to be a champion.
Yeah.
It's very important. For a while there, I thought it'd be really good if people would stop calling me, it was only a few people, but Lily. I'm like, I don't really feel like that's me.
But you could have gone Lee Lou.
Yeah, I could have.
Fifth Element.
Yeah, but no, it was, but that kind of drifted away, so that's good as we got a little older.
Yeah.
Also, sometimes I feel like you get to an age where you don't care what people call you, as long as they're not calling you late for dinner.
Don't be jealous, they've been chatting online with babes all day. You're listening to We Are The Watchers. I've also been chatting with babes all day. Yep, online.
What other news have you found around these here trials?
I got a little one and a big one.
Ooh.
What would you like first?
Little one first.
Let the little one out the gate?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, so I've mentioned before that Lego Masters Australia is coming.
Oh, I like the look of it too. I've seen a trailer for it. It looks like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it also looks like the kind of show that it is going to get an audience that are not just Lego fans.
I think so. It's got a very good potential crossover. So obviously this is the Lego building reality competition show. They've done 2 seasons of it in the UK. They sold the brand around the world.
And we've got Hamish as our
Hamish
host.
Blake is our host.
I think he's going to be good.
I think he's going to be very excitable. That tends to be how he gets.
Yep.
And yeah, I've got a good feeling about it. That will be kicking off. They finally announced 28th of April.
Oh, that's soon.
Like a week and a half.
Yeah, that's really good. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
What I'm happy about is that it's got sort of that MasterChef feel. But sometimes I think when you see MasterChef, it's a little bit ridiculous the way that they have the music.
Yep.
Like that real sort of dramatic, cinematic music. And it just feels so over the top because they have literally just made a dessert. Don't get me wrong. It looked like a difficult dessert to make. But with Lego, it can be this masterpiece, but it also, because it's Lego, you can take the music as a joke.
Yes.
You know what I mean? The comedic factor can be, the music can count as part of the comedic factor.
Look, I think the ads have gone a long way to selling it, as you say, like a MasterChef type thing. It's much more like a great British Bake Off.
Oh, nice.
It's very positive. It's very gentle.
Everyone, I like that.
You know, there is an eventual winner, but unless they change the format drastically for Australia.
I doubt very much.
It's not about the competition. It's about improving yourself rather than beating other people. So it's a nice message.
When they brought Great British Bake Off here, it didn't change much.
No.
It was still pretty much the same. Mm. MasterChef's a bit different. Mm. But, yeah, I'm excited to see how Lego will go, and I'm very happy that we know that it's not a far distant thing.
Yeah.
Really good. What other news? You said you had a big one. A big one.
Disney had a big day the other day.
What'd they do then?
You already know because I was texting you like 11 o'clock at night. But they pulled the curtain back and showed off Disney Plus for their investors of a lot of the upcoming shows, movies, things that will be coming to the surface.
Stuff that we've been really interested to see what's on offer, how it's going to happen, what sort of price, all that sort of stuff.
And it looks huge. So they confirmed that it's coming in November, that it's going to be $5.99 per month US.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know fully yet on locality whether there'll be a specific Australian one or whether we'll need to VPN in or whatever, but we'll be able to access.
It's Disney, it's big enough.
Yeah.
And with Netflix out here already, I would be very surprised if we didn't get our own.
Yeah,
really surprised.
Look, it's just whether it launches as Disney Plus Global or whether we launch with a Disney Plus Australia local server.
And then have to pay more, I understand.
Yes.
Yeah.
It also affects somewhat when they're posting up films day and date of releasing on Disney Plus. It doesn't matter here, but if it's something that's in cinema, then it depends if it's
So there are some degrees of difficulty.
So there may be a few things like that. However, they talked about all the stuff that's going to be on there from day one. And some of the stuff that I'll talk about now isn't day one, but will be coming along afterwards. Mm. And the same thing with, you know, Netflix, when they launched, just had other people's content. So the fact that these guys are launching with so much of their own stuff is very cool. Now, we've talked a lot about The Mandalorian, which is the Star Wars show.
Yeah, we saw some new photos.
Yes, that's all looking pretty cool. I'll just give you the few highlights of things that had me going, like an excited Kermit the Frog. There's Pixar are doing a show called Monsters at Work. It is.
So is this an offshoot of Monsters Inc?
It's a continuation.
Oh, nice.
So it's set 6 months after Monsters, Inc., not Monsters University, when the factory and the town has shifted over to harvesting laughter rather than screams, Billy Crystal and John Goodman are both back.
Awesome.
They aren't the main characters.
Huh?
Yes. So the film is going to be – the description sounds like it's going to be The Office, like it's going to be a workplace mockumentary set within the world of Monsters, Inc.
Oh, I'm interested to see how they do this.
Mike and Sully will be there in mentor roles and like
okay.
background characters.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get those two guys
that's true.
Full-time voice actors. Mm. That sounds awesome.
That sounds really good.
Uh-huh.
Really good.
I'm very amped for that. Obviously, there was a lot of Marvel stuff. Mm. Plenty of it we've talked about before. The Scarlet Witch and the Vision show, the Falcon and Winter Soldier might happen, a buddy action comedy.
That'd be cool.
One of the ones, well, the one that has me most amped, I think, is a Hawkeye show starring Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, it's got him in it.
But he may not be in it the whole time or something like that. It looks like it might be a bit of a passing of the torch because it's also going to feature Kate Bishop, who is starts out in the comics as, I want to say, about 16 years old, but a fantastically talented archer that he trains up further and she becomes Hawkeye. Hmm. It's very confusing. They both run around at the same time called Hawkeye. No, neither of them, like, they both refuse to give up the name.
Kind of like Alan Alda, really.
Yeah. But I could see it very much becoming, like, they could do the serious route and make it like Hannah or, you know, Leon, you know, training a young girl to be a professional killer. Mm. Or I could see them going the opposite way and having it be like a teenage, almost a teenage drama type thing.
I mean, that's kind of... That genre at the moment is quite strong.
It really is.
Yeah.
And I will say that some of these announcements from Marvel and Disney seem not calculated, but they're definitely appealing to different audiences because the other one that is rumoured to be coming is a Hulk TV show featuring Mark Ruffalo, not starring. And it looks like it might be Marvel's opportunity to kind of pass the torch a little bit with him,
okay.
of the Hulk character, because I won't get into all of it, but the Hulk is one of the few characters who still has a lot of license issues because a Hulk solo film is still tied up at Universal, but Hulk can be part of an ensemble, which is why we've only seen him in Avengers or Thor since the last Hulk movie. But there's something around
interesting
online rights or something like that where it looks like Marvel can use him.
Okay.
Now, the reason why I'm so excited is because they want to use this to introduce She-Hulk. And I'm hoping that this instead is just going to be a She-Hulk show. Now, She-Hulk, for the uninitiated, the easiest way I could describe it is imagine if Ally McBeal was the female Hulk.
Okay.
So she's a tiny female lawyer. She's the cousin of Bruce Banner. Uh-huh. She's in a bad accident, needs a blood transfusion. He's the only one with the same blood type. Whoops, Gamma.
Damn it.
But she's a much more stable version of the Hulk. So she will quite often turn into the Green Hulk and stay that way and, like, lawyer as Green Hulk.
Wow.
Like, in a pantsuit with glasses on Hulk. It's amazing. And it's very, very funny. And the reason why I say Ally McBeal, there was a great comic book run written about She-Hulk where it was literally the madcap antics of her law firm. It has the potential to be a really, really funny series.
And something different from Hulk and the Hulk.
Very
so if Mark Ruffalo's not in it very often, it doesn't feel like there's a huge Hulk-sized
That's
hole
right.
missing from the show.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
They've also announced that they're going to be doing a series called What If, which is Marvel's first animated series that's going to be set within the MCU. But it's got a very cool twist. What If comics are ones where they take a storyline you know well and tweak one little element and basically play it out of what if this had happened instead. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, what if Spider-Man's aunt had died instead of his uncle? They start with light stuff like that through to what if the death of Spider-Man's, you know, everyone he cared for led him to become the Punisher.
Right.
And so then you've got a hyper-violent Spider-Man.
I mean, this is sounds to me like fan fiction but written by the actual Marvel
Bingo.
Writers.
So What If was used a lot to get new potential writers to write a few comics, show that they could do stuff, and then they'd be hired by Marvel to go and work
idea.
On other projects. Very much so. Mm. They've announced that the very first episode they're doing is a What If where what if Captain America's girlfriend, Peggy Carter, mm-hmm. back in the 40s, was the one shot up with a Captain America serum. He stayed scrawny and climbed into a tin suit built for him by Howard Stark, which is Iron Man's father. So female Captain America.
Yeah.
And then Steve Rogers as Iron Man.
So would these be standalone episodes?
Very much so.
So not a whole season of.
So they're one and done?
Yep.
I will say that most of these end in either tragedy or tragicomedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's always...
It's a definite ending for it.
Oh, yeah. It's very Twilight Zone. Yep. Like, ends with kind of, like, well, reader, have you learned?
Like that. Yeah, right. Okay, I get the tone. I understand.
And then finally, the last show I'll mention.
Yes.
I might be the only person who gets this excited for this show. But they're going to have one documentary series that's in the style of The Zoo and those zoo programs that I like, but it's all set behind the scenes at Animal Kingdom, at the Disney Animal Kingdom Park.
I reckon there'll be quite a few people into this.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you're on the far end of the spectrum of like super fan to a super pumped, but I also think they're going to get a huge chunk of audience just sitting down watching it just to chill.
Yeah. Well, they've got so many of that type of show in the lineup of behind the scenes here, or here's the history of the Imagineers, who are the engineers for the Disney company.
That's cool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like some really interesting documentary stuff on some specific stuff. The other one that's already getting a lot of buzz is there's going to be a documentary about series about the women of early Disney who have traditionally been forgotten. It's always referred to as...
So the women behind the scenes?
Yes, it's always referred to as Walt and the nine men who are his artists. And they never talk about the many, many women who worked across the Disney company at the time. So they're going to have a documentary series about them.
Yeah, right.
It's awesome.
Yeah, this sounds really good.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of different stuff there. So it's not... I think to the casual observer, the Disney stream service is Disney movies and cartoons.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
That's the
perception. For them to sort of throw this out and let people know that there's a whole lot, that if you can only dedicate your money to, you know, two, potentially three streaming things a month, this one will cater for the whole family.
Yeah. Well, they had some definite curveballs in there, like from day one, Simpsons, 30 series.
Yeah, that's true.
That's huge.
That is huge.
For what they're potentially offering and what they're asking is ridiculously cheap. And the reason why this is such a big shakeup is every other big streaming player had to stream other people's content until they got big enough to make their own. Whereas not only can these guys make their own content, but that's what they do. That's how they are one of the world's biggest companies, is making great content.
Mm.
So creating their own platform where they don't have to worry about advertisers any longer, it's huge.
There's going to be so many Star Wars movie binge sessions going on as soon as they open. People are just going to be, right, let's go. Episode 7 or whatever it was.
Yeah, you don't start with one.
Oh, no, you don't start with one. Imagine if... No, there's no reason. You just let it go.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Look, finally, I think for the news, it's probably worth mentioning. This is non-spoilery Game of Thrones stuff, but the day after, well, today, that the Game of Thrones episode 1 premiered.
Yes.
The numbers came out. This is just for America, so this is just for HBO. 17.4 million viewers.
It's pretty good.
That's really good.
And
then
almost Walking Dead numbers.
Yeah, that's right. And this is, when you think about HBO, like that's premier.
Yeah, that's premium.
Yeah,
cable.
This is stuff that will never have ads through it. If you do see an ad, it's always at the beginning or the end, and it's always for HBO.
Or it's Ed Sheeran.
Or it's Ed Sheeran, that's right, because he's got a concert coming up soon. But I find it really interesting that they were looking at the numbers between season 7, which was almost a couple of years ago, and season 8 now, where people were watching, and they found that a lot of people were watching on HBO Now, I think is what called, the HBO streaming service, and just how much people have moved away from, it's on at 8:30, let's all sit down. I mean, for me, I just series linked it. I knew it was going to play here in Australia at 11 a.m., series linked it so that we could watch it any time that night when everybody was finished work and whatnot. Oh, my goodness. Just without – and like I said, no spoilers here, but how long were those hours between 11 a.m. Sydney time to when you could watch it? It was just painful. It was so long.
I didn't go on social. Look, the ratings figures is interesting. The one I'm going to be more interested in, and it'll probably take 2 to 3 weeks to come out properly, but I want to see what the global drop-off on social media usage was from that period, or what would be considered a reasonable viewing window. So US is going to be quite short.
I'd
say 3 to 5 hours. But for us, you're looking probably more 9 to 11 hours. And then you've got to add another 4 to 5 hours on top of that for the UK. So there's going to be this interesting staggering wave of a dip of usage. Yeah.
I wonder if they will release numbers, if Twitter will do it.
Look, those guys won't do it. It'll be one of the media analytics companies that looks through and be like, oh, we earned 4.7% less during these hours. People weren't online.
Next week might be a bit different, particularly here in Australia. I'm not sure if Easter Sunday is a public holiday in the US. Having said that, it's still a Sunday. But here it'll be Easter Monday and it will be a public holiday. So most
11 a.m. what?
Yeah, that's right. So social media won't be as scary.
If you feel like watching along with us, let us know.
Yes.
Send us a raven.
Send us a raven.
It's relevant again.
Man, you've been asking for those ravens for years now, and I can't wait for you to actually get one. Or just an email that's like a meme of a raven or something.
Yep.
TheWatchersPodcast@gmail.com. Like we said at the beginning of the episode, we do have specific Game of Thrones episodes over these next 6 weeks so that we don't have to hide behind a spoiler section. And if you do want to binge, I don't know why you would want to binge this. You've got to go week to week. But if you are not keeping up week to week, you can listen to this full episode without getting anything spoiled.
Yeah, we're doing this for my mum.
Aww.
She
You're
wants
welcome.
To listen to the podcast, but she might not see the episode for a day or two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
no, we're not really listeners. I just wanted to sound more affable.
You're a nice guy.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. People need to know. Should we get into the quiz time?
Sure. Let's quiz it.
This one is called Who Almost Played That Character. Now, we've done this one before, but we're using different people now.
Okay.
We haven't done this one for ages, actually.
No, we haven't.
I think this is one of the early ones
we've
done.
For Rusty.
All right, so I will say the character or, you know, where the character's from and who played it, if you need to know that, but some of you won't need to. And through your vast knowledge, guessing, or my clues, we'll figure it out.
Let me get out my oversized magnifying glass.
That's heavy. All right. The Terminator. And the first Terminator. James Cameron thought that this guy's persona was too pleasant to portray such a dark character. This person's persona in real life became extremely dark in the early 90s and continues to be so.
I want to say Michael Biehn, but it's not Michael Biehn.
No. Had a career as an American footballer in the 70s, I'd probably say, maybe 80s. Was in Naked Gun movies.
Not
Terry Crews.
OJ.
Yeah, OJ.
I knew that somewhere in the back of my brain. I was like,
That's an old fact that, yeah, I'd forgotten as well. All right, so you remember the movie Heathers with Winona Ryder?
Vaguely.
She was not the original pick. Now, this movie would have been late 80s, maybe very early 90s.
Right.
So another actress was being thought of before Winona.
Drew Barrymore?
No. She appeared in a movie with David Bowie.
Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah, Jennifer Connelly. Because she was
coming off Fast Times at Ridgemont High then.
A whole heap of movies, you know. What about Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman? So the second movie? Was that the second ever Batman movie? I think it was. Yeah.
Well, it depends if you count the 60s Batman, but we're not going to.
No,
this
we're
is the second
not today.
Tim Burton.
Yeah. Okay, let's
Michelle
do that.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer. So she wasn't the original pick. It was a different actress, and she had to turn it down because she was pregnant. Her husband went out with Madonna. I mean, that's still a huge list, so I'll try and whittle it down. Was Dick Tracy in the movie Dick Tracy.
Warren Beatty.
Yeah.
So Annette Bening.
Yeah, I just...
She's not a sex symbol.
No, Michelle Pfeiffer is that character. I bet they're really happy they went with Michelle Pfeiffer.
I think
she's still super iconic, right, to this day. All right, so Sam Worthington, Aussie Sam Worthington, played, what was his name, Jake Sully or something in Avatar. Mm. Another bloke was supposed to take that role, American. Has won at least one Oscar, but not for acting.
Bradley?
No, won it for screenplay with his mate. Was not a Batman.
Oh, so, okay, it was... Matt Damon.
I'm so glad you did that voice. I'm so glad.
All right. Just for the record, when you said that he and his mate wrote an Oscar-winning teleplay together, my head went to that George Clooney movie in Hawaii.
Oh, it starts with I. It's like Indecence. Or so, it's not Indecence. It's...
I don't know, but that was written by Jim Rash and Nat Faxton, and Jim Rash is the dean from Community.
Oh, no way. Yeah. I didn't know that.
So that was going to be my answer. I was very stuck on Jim Rash.
Can you imagine him as Jackson on Avatar? Okay, so Boogie Nights, Dirk Diggler.
Marky.
Yeah, originally going to go to another guy, probably a little bit younger than Mark, not much. I'd say not much. Taller, lankier, blonde hair.
Matthew Lillard.
No. I reckon Matthew would do a pretty good job.
Zoinks. Jeez, Scoop. She's going to touch me.
This guy was in a movie with Johnny Depp. He
Orlando
played the
Blum?
No, he played the brother of Johnny Depp. He was
Tom
in a
Cruise.
Movie about a boat. With Kate Winslet?
Leo?
Wouldn't have picked that. Finally, last one, Indiana Jones. There was another actor who both Lucas and Spielberg were looking at seriously before they ended up with Harrison Ford. This guy I don't even know, were we talking about him recently?
Steve Guttenberg.
Oh, you don't know how close you are with that guess.
Rick Moranis.
You're still talking about a man that would wear short shorts. He hung
Chevy
out in
Chase.
Hawaii for a while.
Magnum?
Yes.
Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck. In fact, so much so that they had him do like a...
Screen test.
A screen test, yeah.
Awesome.
And it's on the internet and it's Magnum but with like an Indiana Jones hat on.
Nice.
Yeah.
I really like that.
It's good, right?
I'm enjoying that in my mind's eye.
Look, if they ever need to do another one, we'll get him in there. He'd have to be a little bit younger than Harrison, wouldn't he? Surely. Steve Guttenberg as Indiana Jones or just anyone?
Oh, no, as Indiana Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
I can see that smile underneath the big hat.
Yeah.
Can you see him doing the run down the hill?
With that holding the hat
while the boulder comes behind him?
Yes, I can.
Turning around, looking at the camera and shrugging just a little. Hey.
Just enough. I know you're there.
I'm Indy.
You're my audience.
You're probably wondering how I got here.
Well done.
Thanks.
That was fun.
That was a good quiz.
That was a good one.
I enjoyed that.
They said it couldn't be done, but I just watched them put a baby in the corner. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
All right, let's crack into some stuff that we watched. I know that you've got a bit of a list.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to just I'll bullet point a few things this
Go
week.
Go for it.
All right. In terms of trailers, two things that will bullet point quickly. Meet the Addams, which is the new CGI version of Addams Family.
Oh, I heard about that.
Oscar Isaac as Gomez.
Yeah. That guy's in a lot.
Yeah.
He really is.
He's busy.
He's very busy. What do you think?
It looks like it has potential. It's got some cool people throughout playing. I think Aubrey Plaza might be in the mix.
Cool.
Maybe she's Wednesday.
I could see her as Wednesday.
Someone very, very deadpan was Wednesday. Yeah. Nick Kroll as Uncle Fester.
Oh, good.
It could be dumb. It looks very much in the style of your Hotel Transylvania's, but it does not have Adam Sandler. So...
How's that work?
Oh, that's a leg up to start before they even release anything.
He really does need to take some time off, and by time off, I mean at least 5 years.
Yep. Also, there was a trailer that came out the other day for a little film you might have heard. There was...
Have you heard of Stewers?
Can you spell it out for me? Yeah, I did. I saw that. I mean, I had been waiting. Mm. I knew it was going to come out in, what was it called? The Star Wars Celebration?
Yeah.
I think so.
I don't know. Star Wars Celebration is normally May 4th, isn't it?
Yeah, so why was everything... Was it?
It must have been Disney related.
It has to be Disney related.
It has to be that investment.
What do you think of the trailer?
Yeah, it hasn't been a lot more excited than Last Jedi. I still haven't watched Solo, and The Last Jedi left a bad taste in my mouth.
I know.
And they've already said that this one, they're looking to rectify a lot of their stuff, which is great.
Yeah. Look, I think what I enjoyed was the fact that we started off with Rey.
Sure.
I enjoyed the fact that Rey did some amazing acrobatic move. Mm. And I wanted to see more, but obviously they had to cut away because that bit's going to be very exciting for the movie. I want to know who's in that spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Kylo? Probably not. Who is it then? We got to see Princess Leia. That was pretty emotional.
Yep.
I'm still intrigued to see how they use the footage that they've got.
Yep.
I think that'll be really fascinating. And who is this Skywalker that they're talking about? Well, is it Rey? Who is it?
I read someone was saying something about maybe because they're all about getting rid of the past. They get rid of the concept of Jedi and there's a new religion formed around the teaching of Skywalker.
I like that.
That could work.
Yeah.
So I'll be honest, I am hype trained out right now between Avengers and Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Give it a few more months, I will let some hype build up. I enjoyed the trailer. There's some cool looking moments. I want to see what's going on with Palpatine. The fact that the Emperor's in there was pretty good.
That laugh at the end.
Yeah.
I think that they needed to make sure that we knew about it before Game of Thrones and Endgame.
Yep.
And I think they'll be a bit quiet now and they'll wait for both of those to end and then they'll bring something else out, maybe a second trailer or something.
Yeah.
And that makes sense.
I think as well with the timing of May 4th being so close to Avengers coming out, I think you've nailed it there.
Yeah.
There's too much.
It's too much. Like you said, you can't cope.
Yeah. They dropped the trailer for the game as well.
Yeah.
For, what's it called? Fallen Jedi?
Yeah, I think so. And that was by the Respawn guys they were behind Call of Duty 4, which was the first Modern Warfare. Mm-hmm. Maybe they did Modern Warfare 2 as well. I'm not sure, but they did Titanfall 1 and 2 as well. And so this in itself is a little bit of a change for them because they said it's single player, no microtransactions.
Two great pieces of news for me.
Me too. Well, really into single player stories. That's what I like. That's what I used to like. I kind of branched out a bit and now I'm back into it again. Just give me more of that. In space, thank you very much.
Yep.
All about that.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Speaking of out in space, I watched Thor Ragnarok again.
Hey!
Decided to watch that. You know, you got to start watching a couple of different movies in the lead up.
Was your favourite line, piss off, ghost?
Of course it was. Yeah. I love him. I love him so much. And I was just, I was surprised. I was surprised in myself that I'd forgotten how close to the end of that movie that the beginning of Infinity War was.
Straight off.
Yeah, moments. So it was really cool. And it's just such a fun movie. It's probably one of my... I still like Guardians of the Galaxy just because I like the comedy in those. It was probably my second favourite,
yep.
I'd have to say. So there's just so many actors in movies... In Marvel movies, he's just like, oh my gosh, I know all of you.
They've nailed down a lot of people.
They really have. Cate Blanchett's a great baddie.
Yeah.
Always was going to be, always will be.
She had a lot of fun.
Yeah, you could tell she did.
Carl Urban looked like he was having a lot of fun with that too.
Every moment
that
there was a scene. Ah, it was such a fun movie. Look, if you can only watch a couple in the lead up, put that on your list. What other one would you say? Maybe Infinity War, just to get yourself back to when... What happened?
I would say if you've not seen any of them and you're going to go and see Endgame, you'd probably need to see Captain America Civil War, Thor Ragnarok, Infinity War, potentially Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah.
I think retroactively we're going to find out that Ant-Man and the Wasp was a lot more important to Endgame than we realize at this point.
I agree.
So only a few to catch up. That's not much.
What else did you watch this week?
So, I'll continue with the bullet pointing. I took Shay to see a movie called Wonder Park.
Oh, she was really keen. I remember talking to her, and she was really into that movie.
And the idea of an abandoned imaginary amusement park should be right up my alley, but it was just way more kiddie than the trailers made it look.
Ah, oh, that's a shame.
It looked like it was going to be for 7 to 10 year olds and stuff, but it very much felt 4 to 6 year olds.
So how did she cope with it?
She still enjoyed it.
Okay.
But oh, it's just bored out of my brain. And John Oliver voices a hedgehog.
Okay.
He does quite well. Fitzy and Whipper voice a pair of things that I want to say are maybe gophers. This film has a purple bear.
All right.
And like a talkative warthog. I don't know what these things were. In the American version, they're voiced by Ken Jeong and Keenan from Keenan and Kel.
Oh, okay.
And they've redubbed them for different markets.
Yeah. Didn't they do that for Nemo?
Yeah. Mm. We got Fitzy and Whipper. That's a bloody dud shake of the stick.
I bet they tried Hamish and Andy first.
Yeah.
Are you anything?
So, wonderful. It was fine. It was just like, it wasn't a bad movie per se. It was just not aimed at me. And
yeah.
I managed to last about 40 minutes before I busted out the phone.
Fair enough.
It was a 10 a.m. screening, so it didn't matter if I was reading the phone while the film was on. I also went and saw Hellboy.
Oh, yeah, you were so hyped for this.
Yeah, now I feel brave putting things down here in concrete and stuff, but I quite enjoyed it. Was it a good film? No. Okay. Was it a great film? Definitely not. Yeah. There were a lot of issues.
Saw some of the reviews. They were not taking it lightly.
But a lot of those reviews, if you read them, are angry that it's not Guillermo del Toro and Ron Perlman. Mm. And del Toro wanted too much money. They couldn't get him back. He wanted to do a $200 million film.
Holy cow.
Which, no.
Yeah.
Doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So a lot of the resentment towards the film, I feel, was it wasn't what I wanted.
Mm.
You know, people behaving like that a little bit. Now, obviously, I'm in a different boat to most in that I have 25 years experience.
Yeah.
Background knowledge. I could imagine there were some parts in that film that were utterly bewildering because without the extra context that I had to know what the significance of the warthog-headed man was.
And they didn't give you any info?
Bits and pieces scattered through,
mm.
but perhaps not as much connective tissue as it needed.
Yeah.
I feel kind of like with Venom last year. A bunch of critics were like, this movie sucks, it's terrible.
And then people bloody loved it.
Critics, the public go and see it and go, actually, I quite enjoyed that. Mm. And this film felt like a throwback to, and you know, complete with Mila Jovovich, it felt like a throwback to your Underworlds or your Resident Evils. Yeah, or, you know, that late 90s, early 2000s, very grim, gothic, dark, brooding horror.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrendously violent and gory.
It got an R rating here.
Yeah, and deservedly so. Okay. Some of the stuff in it is just messed up.
Okay.
But yeah, it was a good trashy B movie.
You enjoyed it?
Yeah. If you like Evil Dead and that style of stupidly over the top horror that dips into comedy,
it just felt like that.
Yeah. Okay. So make your own mind up.
Hmm.
You know, your mileage may vary. You may come back and shake your fist angrily at me. So be it. I enjoyed it. Enjoyment and quality don't have to be mutually exclusive.
I like the way you put that. Mm-hmm. It's very clever.
And they would have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for you meddling kids. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Look, one thing I did enjoy highly, it's probably the last thing I'll talk about. I did watch some other stuff, but it's probably enough. Sat down and watched Game Night.
Oh.
Oh, I enjoyed that.
It's a good movie.
I was told that it was going to be something that I personally would like.
Uh-huh.
100%.
It gets dark.
It does, but in the, like, laugh out loud way.
Uh-huh.
You just laugh, and the whole time you're not sure, is this still the game? Or is this real? Oh, it was amazing. And look, I mean, Jason Bateman played Jason Bateman.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he plays in most things. Yeah, and I was very happy that he was. I really liked Rachel McAdams, but probably, and I'd say everybody thought so, I'm going to talk about Jess Plemons.
Yeah.
Who played Gary, their neighbour, and he's the guy from, he's the butcher from Fargo 2, if you're trying to figure out, Fargo Season 2, if you're trying to figure out who he is.
Oh,
and he
from
is,
Breaking Bad.
Yeah, Breaking Bad as well, but he's just so good in this. He's not in it a lot, but every scene he's in, you're just like, when's he coming on again? When are we going to see Gary? I loved it. It was such a good movie. It's on Netflix right now. If you haven't seen it before, and you've got an evening off or an afternoon off, 100% watch this movie. It was so funny.
Here's the thing that blew my mind about that. It's directed and written by John Francis Daly.
Hang on. Isn't he an actor?
Yep. Isn't he the little boy from Freaks and Geeks?
No! Yeah.
So he's become a really good screenwriter over the last couple of years. You might have seen stuff that he's done. Horrible Bosses.
Yeah.
Which makes complete sense. That does make sense.
I can see. Yep.
And number two, he was involved with Incredible Burt Wonderstone. That's not as good. Bad magic movie. Oh, yeah. Steve Buscemi and Steve Carell. He did the Vacation reboot.
Oh, yeah.
And he wrote Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He's also signed to be involved with the Flashpoint movie for DC if they ever do that. But, yeah, little guy.
He was the main character. Well, sort of. At least in the beginning of Freaks and Geeks. Yeah. I like that show.
Yeah, Sam. I think Sam was the main character in Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah, because his sister was sort of the older.
Yeah, all right. She's more the
and she
main
got
character.
You know she then led into that group of friends, and he was the with the nerdy guy.
Yeah,
oh,
with Bill Havachuk.
I love that show. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to watch it again now. Maybe that's what I'll go and do. Right this second.
No, not this second. I got two more things to tell you about. I got one thing that I'm just going to tell you about in terms of two sentences, and you go and decide for yourself.
Okay.
All right, Vice. I've been watching a lot of weird stuff on Vice lately. They had a half-hour documentary last week about the making of Blue by Eiffel 65. I'm blue, abadee, full-on half-hour documentary about the
how
making
of how was that
of
even a thing? It was a one-hit wonder song.
Well, it showed that it was these guys that were separate, like sound engineers or whatever, working separately in a shared space, and they overheard bits and pieces of each other, decided to write a song together for a joke in 2 hours, and then have spent the last 20 years or something attached to the hip, can't stand each other.
I thought you were going to say they can't stand the song.
No, can't stand each other.
They can't stand each other.
Yep, because one of them went off on a solo career and did really well for himself and host TV shows and stuff like that, and the other two did not.
Where are they from?
Italy.
Huh.
And they kind of, it seems like they treat that song there with reverence in the same way that we do Nikki Webster's Strawberry Kisses. You know what I mean? It's a cheesy bullshit song, but it's our cheesy bullshit song, and I'll fucking thump anyone who has a go. That's what this thing was like. So,
interesting.
If that sounds like something that might make you have a giggle and a laugh,
it's on Vice.
Yeah, you will have a giggle and a laugh, but you'll also go, huh, that song was written by real people and it had real ramifications on their life. Never even consider that stuff.
You've got me intrigued.
Yeah.
Where we're going, we don't need roads. Unless you're listening to this in your car or on a bus or, hang on, we actually really do need roads. Guys, can we get some roads?
Also on Vice, they've got a new show called Dark Side of the Ring, which is the true, real behind-the-scenes stories of some of wrestling's darkest moments, which I think has got the potential to see some really cool stuff. The first episode is called the Greatest Match in History or something like that, and it was all about Randy Macho Man Savage and his valet, the woman who came out to ring with him, Miss Elizabeth. When they first appeared, it was the first time that a woman was being used as a manager for a wrestler.
Yeah,
and
right.
Appearing. You know, fans didn't know that they were married in real life off screen and had been high school sweethearts and this sort of stuff. And there was a big storyline that went on about Macho Man's jealousy over Liz potentially leaving him for Hulk Hogan.
Hmm.
And what fans didn't know is that exact storyline was playing out off screen. And Macho was so mentally damaged, I guess, or something, that he chose to play this out on camera and to have his marriage dissolve for a storyline.
Wow.
And then she went off with one of his worst enemies, like off screen, a guy that he really disliked. She started sleeping with him on the side while that other guy was still married, and they got mixed up in all sorts of pills.
It's really hardcore.
It doesn't end well for anyone. Mm. It ends in death. I won't say more, but it was a really, really good watch.
So it sounds like something that if you were a fan back in the day, you would have had a vague, I mean, depending obviously on your level of fandom, a vague recollection of that happening.
Oh, definitely. If you were alive at that time, you'd know Hulk Hogan was the number one big wrestler, and then the number two, you would either think of Andre the Giant or Randy Macho Man Savage.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, he had a fight at WrestleMania 3, which was at the time the largest indoor gathering televised event in history.
Jeez.
This sort of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
He was not just a household name, he was known. And she and he were attached to the hip. So if you know anything about what is considered the golden age of wrestling, you know about these two. But to have these people tell the stories, and it was very interesting, the ex-wrestlers, the writers, the people that they had come and talk about it in the documentary style, they picked the people that are almost all viewed as outlaws or not so much underdogs, but the people that have been ostracized by the community, by the wrestling business for not playing nice and for telling the dirty stories and
the stuff that people want to know.
In wrestling, it's called kayfabe, which is where you're playing the story and you don't break kayfabe for the fans. But these are people prepared to break kayfabe and tell the actual story of what was going on. Wow. So it'll be very interesting to see. I have a feeling that as it progresses, more and more of the episodes will have tragic outcomes due to drugs. It's a big part of the wrestling community. Mm. Not so much now, obviously. They have wellness programs and initiatives and things like that. But if this is flicking back to look at wrestling from the past.
Yeah, from the past.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
Dark Side of the Ring.
I reckon even for people who aren't huge wrestling fans, that sounds fascinating.
It's wrestling is just soap opera for guys. Mm. That's all it is. It's circus acrobatics mixed with high drama.
Mm.
And this coupling were the first to ever play out a real-life relatable love story on screen and have it have the highs and ups and then the crashing lows.
That's fascinating.
Well, the last one that I will mention to you, Star Talk with Neil deGrasse Tyson, is finally back.
Yay!
It's been off the air since November while he was being investigated for some potential naughtiness.
Mm.
And Fox have come out and said that they don't have enough evidence and that they believe his side of the story and things, and so they can start rolling that. So Cosmos 2 should be along reasonably soon.
Nice.
It's been finished for a while. Very excited for that. But Star Talk came back, and one of the first episodes back was with my man, Jack Black. And they must have filmed it not long after Jack Black had finished Jumanji because he was looking big.
Yeah, right.
He had clearly not shaved in a while and he had not put in the same amount of effort as other people do coming into the show, and I loved him even more for it. Every other time they have a celeb come on, you know, they have Katy Perry, they want to talk about music and things like that. Jack was like, no. I'm here to ask you questions.
That's cool.
And just spent the hour asking Neil deGrasse questions.
That's awesome.
And then a camera cutting back to Jack Black's face, and you can see in his eyes his mind being blown over and over. Like, he has one of the best realization faces in Hollywood anyway.
Yeah.
But to see that being used for real as his like consciousness being unlocked before his very eyes.
What a great way to make the episode a bit different though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the return of it, to have it almost opposite, you know, like have it turn the tables, but still, like you said, watch the reactions of Jack Black. And
it's not like he's a dumb guy. I didn't know this, but both his parents are astrophysicists.
Oh, no way. I didn't
both
know that either.
Both of them worked alongside NASA sending people to space.
That's so
cool.
So
he's grown up around these big questions.
So he's got questions and context for questions that potentially we wouldn't have
very
to
much
ask.
So. And was asking very, very big theories about. He was very interested in quantum entanglement and the idea of the precipice of a black hole or, you know, the event horizon of what happens when you cross over the event horizon. But on the flip side, he just wanted to spend 10 minutes talking about Ant-Man. Can Ant-Man work? could you shrink the molecules? There's that much room between all our atoms and molecules. Could you remove that area between and shrink your size? And the answer is technically yes, but the density increase of your size, like all of a sudden, you may have lost what is effectively 98% of your weight, but you didn't lose that 98% of your mass. So all of a sudden that's compressed into something the size of a thumbnail or something like that. That's a damn heavy thing.
That's a heavy thumbnail.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks, Jack Black. That was interesting. I enjoyed it.
What a great season return.
I know. That's good.
That's really good.
Then there was also one with news reporter Dan Rather. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like whoever went after that episode was always going to be a letdown anyway.
Yep.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, that's enough.
Okay. Well, I reckon that's about going to do it then for us. Tom, thank you very much.
Nobody cared how I was till I took off the mask.